Praise the Lord. Well, I pray the anointing that's here is in every place that's listening to us right now in Jesus' name. Glory to your holy name. Glory to your holy name. Good morning, everybody. So you may notice that you're seeing a lot more staff here doing more of the work as we're finding ways to overcome this challenge of the pandemic and work together as a team and take some of the pressure off Pastor Joshua, Pastor Sarah. So when staff got together and said, how can we help them? We came up with some plans and ideas and put some things together. And I went to the Lord and I says, Lord, how am I going to do all this? Because I've still got my business. We still minister on the other people and so forth. And yet we're taking on an extra load here. The Lord responded, take a Sabbath. And of course, that surprised me. But then the Lord often does when I ask questions. He says, wouldn't have thought of, you know, the usual answer for the United States is, well, we work more, we do more, we push more, we hit more, we go and go. And because of that, I got interested in reviewing about the Sabbath, and I didn't realize how much information there is on a Sabbath. And it's fascinating. It's called the Forgotten Commandment for a reason. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. I want you to think about that for a second. Now, we live in a society today that pushes people to the brink of exhaustion. We're challenged. Everywhere you turn around, you can see it. When I drive on the freeways, I see people almost falling asleep, weaving back and forth. They have to get out of the way or do something. And one way to defeat an enemy is to get an enemy so tired they cannot fight back. And that's what Satan's trying to do to all of us right now. Now, some of you may be better at this than others. That's great. Bear with me for this here. I went back to thinking about things in the past, and for those of you who know, I'm a big Muhammad Ali fan. And I often talk about the Ali Foreman fight, because I think it's very interesting how that correlates a lot to Christianity. Now, in the natural, Ali was bigger, stronger, younger, and had a tremendous punch, and there's no way in the natural that Ali, after coming back from retirement, should have been able to win that fight. But the bottom line is, Ali stayed outside of Foreman's reach enough till Foreman got so tired, Foreman couldn't fight anymore. In the eighth round, Ali knocked Foreman out. And to bring up your point here, Satan is trying to get us all so tired, we cannot do our spiritual warfare. Now, if you don't know much about spiritual warfare, start with the healing schools and go through. We'll talk to you more about that later. But the bottom line is, people are challenged to defend themselves against his attacks. Okay. Now, Pastor Karen and I have a saved friend that was very high in Buddhism for a long time. So I called her and I asked her, is there a Sabbath in Buddhism? She goes, no. In fact, it's the fastest no I've ever heard in my life. No. She goes, it's work, 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 and more work. I thought that was very interesting. You ever heard the saying, you can rest when you're dead? That was a big saying a while back. It was go, go, go. You don't have to stop. You don't have to rest. You can rest when you're dead. Well, that's part of Satan's strategy. He'll get a lot of people dead a lot sooner because they're doing what they're not supposed to do and not listening to God. Now, the bottom line is this. God is smarter than all of us put together. So if he says it, it must be right. Now, God does not suggest we take a Sabbath. It's one of his 10 commandments. One of the 10 most noticed rules ever written. And it's one of them. And yet here, many people ignore it. Because people think they know better. Okay? It's the fourth of the 10 commandments. It's right there in the middle. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days just to labor and do all your work. Exodus 20:8-9. Now, interesting enough, Karen had a ministry trip to Israel. And she got to stay with some very good friends of ours that are Orthodox Jews. And she stayed with them over Sabbath. And she was concerned it was going to be kind of boring, but she found out that the day before, the wife goes out to the open air markets and buys all the food and prepares the food for Shabbat. And the wife explained to Karen that that is one of her best times. She loves preparing food for Shabbat because Shabbat is not a downtime. It's a fun time. Yes, they pray, but they fellowship. They bond together as a family. Family members will come over and spend the whole day with them. You know, there's no TV. There's no computers. There's no telephones. There's no nothing. And they get to bond as a family. It's one of their best times ever. And your Sabbath can be fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun on Sabbath. Okay. Now, I remember growing up, we were not allowed to have TV or answer the telephone during family dinner. My dad was very strict on that. And looking back, I see how it caused us to bond as a family. And I've always appreciated that because today we'll get together and just laugh and joke for hours as a family. And there's a specialness there. And what the devil's trying to do is pull people apart, get them so busy being under Satan's yoke, as Pastor was talking about the other night, get them so busy they don't have time for each other. Okay. Now, Exodus 23:10-13 and 16:29. Sow 6 years, rest the seventh, lie fallow, and receive abundance. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh. Exodus 26:29. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, where he gives you on the 6 day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Okay. If you obey God, God will take care of you. If you're not obeying God, you have a fear that God won't take care of you. Okay. Exodus 23:10-13. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow. So the poor among your people may eat from the field, and wild animals may consume what they leave. Do the same for your vineyard and olive grove. For 6 days you do your work, but on the seventh day you must cease. So that your ox, donkey may rest, the son of your maidservant may be refreshed, as well as the foreign resident. So the foreign people in the Israelites area had no choice but to Sabbath, because everything was closed down anyway. They had to rest. Okay? Now, the Merriam-Webster definition of fallow is usually cultivated land that is allowed to lie dormant, idle, during the growing season. The sabbatical year of rest causes the land to restore its fertility. That fertility never fails to bring forth a harvest of abundant good crops. So, here's the bottom line. Everything needs rest. We need rest. The work animals need rest. The land needs rest. Because that's the way God designed it. So it's good for the land and good for the work animals, good for the foreign residents. Could it be good for you? I mean, think about it. If the land needs rest, do you need rest? And I'm going to drive that point home today because it's very important. Now, one of the challenges is today's farmers uses chemicals instead of the land lie fallow to restore its fertility. They can just spray something on top of it and it'll be fine. And that'll work for a season, but how many articles you see today where our food does not have the nutrition that it needs? You look at all the books and trying to go back to organic farming because they know that's what's right. Man is not smarter than God. Okay? And people do the same thing. They'll drink coffee. They'll drink Red Bulls or that monster drink that's so popular out there. You know, I knew one guy, he would drink 3 Red Bulls in a row. 1, 2, 3. Like, how can you do that? And he was wired for the day. I give him credit for that. But how long could his body keep that up? Now, this is not new. I just remember this morning. But back in my college days, Mountain Dew was the heaviest caffeinated thing you could drink. Yeah. And in my college, the guys were smart. They had one machine that had Coke and this and that and the other thing. And another machine was nothing but Mountain Dew. There was like 8 rows of nothing but Mountain Dew. Okay. Now, I didn't do this. I thought it was pretty stupid. But the thing was, when they really wanted to get going, they'd take the Mountain Dew. And, of course, there's a pop-top can here. And they'd turn it over and take a can opener. Yeah. They'd open the bottom of it. Uh-huh. And it would suck until they couldn't suck anymore. And then pop the tab, which shot that caffeine all in their body. And they were wired for a long time, too. I never did that. But I saw people bouncing off the walls after doing that. But, you know, the bottom line is people are looking for chemical solutions to godly problems, or worldly solutions to godly problems, okay? Now, Mark 2:27. The Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man, Jesus, is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, let's look at what Jesus told his disciples, that statement. This is not on your outlines. Mark 2:23-26 and 28. Now, it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? You know, those Pharisees, the legalistic people, you know. He said to them, have you ever read that David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate snow bread, which is not lawful except by the priests, and gave some of those who were with him. And then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is a blessing, not a curse. It's a gift from God. You can choose to accept it or reject any gift from God. Okay. God does many things for you. Now, Jesus healed 7 times on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees were upset every single time. Can you imagine that? I'm always the one about the man who was by the pool of Bethesda, and he couldn't get to the pool, and for 38 years he was there, and the Sadducees would come up to him, and then Jesus healed him, says, why are you carrying your mat? He says, 38 years I've been laying there. You never did a thing for me. Why should I listen to you now? You know? That man healed me and told me to pick up my mat. Now, who do you think you're going to listen to? People who dressed in the fine robes, or the guy who did the healing to him? Right? I don't care how fancy somebody is and they're telling you something. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't do it. Do what God says always first, okay? It is okay to do good on the Sabbath. It's not okay to work on the Sabbath. There's a difference. Now, back in my college days, I had a friend. I get a call about 1:30 in the morning. This is back in Illinois in February. It's 10 below. The snow is blowing. And the wind is high. And if you've ever imagined a cornfield that's been cut down, there's nothing there. So the wind is blowing really, really hard. And he's got car trouble. He's about 30 miles away. So I get in my car and I go pick him up and I take him back and I get him some hot food and so forth. And the next day we solve his carb challenge. But, you know, the point is this. The way the Pharisees looked at that, on the Sabbath, I said, what's the Sabbath? I can't come out. You'll just have to freeze to death out there in the cold. That's not the way it works. You can do good. You cannot work. There's a difference, okay? So the consequences for not keeping the Sabbath holy. Exodus 31:14-16. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it's holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Now, what are the wages of sin? Death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Do you see people being working so hard, they're separated from their families and separated from things and not being able to get things, not being able to get to church? They're always working, working. Okay. Work shall be done for 6 days, but on the seventh, the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. Now, in the old days, they actually stoned people, but today we just let it go on, and they tend to be challenged physically, exhausted, emotionally challenged, stress challenged their families, all kinds of things. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Okay. Three of the biggest Buddhist countries in the world are Japan, China, and Korea. Now, there are other Buddhist countries, but these are three that I'm familiar with this situation. Each one has a word in their language that literally means worked themselves to death. That's because it happens so often that they have a word for it. In Japan, several years ago, they found a man. He was 34 years old. He had died at his desk. His body gave out due to overworking an average of 110 hours per week. He just gave out. He couldn't do it anymore. And I can't blame him. What would be the purpose of life to just do that all the time? Lack of faith does not reap God's rewards. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Working 7 days is not faith, causes stress, sickness, and burnout. Does that sound like our world today? Now, I'm not trying to get down. I'm not trying to make this a bummer type message. I want to be an encouraging message to start doing things right, because the Sabbath is fun. If you take a Sabbath, you're going to start having fun. Okay, we'll get more to that later. Working 7 days without a Sabbath means you don't trust God. Lack of trust means lack of faith. Therefore, without faith, you will not receive the rewards from God. Lack of trust means lack of faith. Therefore, without faith, you will not receive the rewards from God. I just did that, didn't I? If you're working for money on your Sabbath, you are serving the God of Mammon. Okay? Who do you want to serve, God or Mammon? It's against God's law. He can't bless you if you're working on the Sabbath for money. Okay? The reason I know this so well is before you all knew me, I was a typical type A personality. I had 5 businesses. I thought nothing of working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. My goal was to become a millionaire, then sell off all but one of my businesses, be very, very wealthy, and play with the last business for the rest of my life. Unfortunately, because I didn't keep a Sabbath, I was challenged to be so tired I didn't see when they were stealing from me, and I didn't see how not keeping a Sabbath basically cost me all my businesses. Now, fast forward, in the long run, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, which is a story for another time, but the bottom line is not keeping a Sabbath cost me dearly. Now, Karen was in a situation where once a week, she'd work 24 hours straight. There was a project, so she had to work 24 hours to get it done on time. And it caused her to have challenges of a heart attack, in which I had to pray her back. So I'm very adamant about this, that we need to take time for ourselves, okay? Sin robs us of Sabbath assets, protection, provision, and health. The sin of not obeying the Sabbath means that the rewards from God, which include assets, protection, provision, and health, will not be attained. Again, these following scriptures are in our outline. You can look them up. Malachi 3:8, will rob man God? You've robbed me, but I say in what way we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now, sabbatical 7th year, and the 7th day of the rest should be considered as an offering unto God. As you've heard us say many times, 90% of your money with God is better than 100% without him. 6 days with God is better than 7 days without him. It's a challenge to do. The world tells us we should go, go, go. But if you give it to God, God will reward you back. Isaiah 59, 1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Okay. In this pandemic challenging world we live in today, how many of you are challenged to be exhausted? I thought when the pandemic came, it chanced me to get caught up on a lot of things. Pandemic was so much work, it's unbelievable how things didn't get done that I thought I could get done. People are exhausted out there, and that's what the devil wants. Okay? Our goal today is to say we're going to take our life back from the devil. Satan has been beating us up too long, And we can use complacency to go a little bit here, a little bit there. Now remember, Satan uses a very devious trick. Just a little bit. Just do a little bit. Okay. Then just do a little bit more. And a little bit more. And before you know it, your whole Sabbath is gone. You have to defend your Sabbath and believe that God will take care of you as you do this. He'll recharge your body. How are you going to get the blessings of God if you disobey one of His biggest commandments? And it can sound good. You've heard this before. Is it a good idea or a God idea? So ask the Holy Spirit what you're doing on your Sabbath. So how to keep the Sabbath holy, Genesis 2, 2 and 3. Rest on the seventh day like God did. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. And God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now, I have people tell me God didn't rest on the seventh day. But He said He did. But He didn't rest on the seventh day. He's God. He doesn't rest. So let me explain this to you. God can set the sun, the moon, the stars, everything up and let it go on its own and rest because He is God. To me, if He said He rested on the seventh day, and it's in the Bible, I believe He rests on the seventh day. And I don't use any justification to get me out of my rest. And if it's good enough for God, if it's good enough for land, and it's good enough for the animals, it should be good enough for us too. Okay. Genesis 1:27, Ephesians 5:1. Be like God, for you're created in His image. Therefore, we need to do what God does and rest on the seventh Sabbath day. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. But would He give us a commandment that didn't line up with His image? Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And the more I'm here at ABC, and the more I get into the Word, the more that is one of my biggest goals, to just imitate God. You know, if you look at the life of Jesus, He did nothing His Father didn't tell Him to do. And there are times where there were multitudes of people, and He stopped and went to be with the Father. And He left the multitudes of people. Now the world would say, well, why did He stay and heal all the people and so forth? I don't know. I know God told him to come, and he went with God. And that's what I'm saying to you. Whatever God tells you to do, you do. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 1:6 in the Amplified Classic. And you set yourselves to become imitators of us and through us of the Lord Himself. You're welcomed by your message in spite of much persecution, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 2:21. Or to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, imitator, you should follow His steps. So if it's good enough for Christ, it's good enough for us. Guard your body, which is the holy temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. Okay. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are you? Now, one of the main reasons God wants us to keep the Sabbath holy is to get rest from 6 days of work. Rest your mind and your body. You'll draw closer to God, He'll draw closer to you, and you'll be recharged, re-energized, refreshed to hear His voice better when you are not tired. You'll be guided by the Holy Spirit how to accomplish more in less time. You'll learn how to earn more income with less effort. You'll bond more with your family, have a deeper, closer relationship with them as you pray together. Have quality fellowship time at the dining table without the distractions of electronics. I'm suggesting on your Sabbath day, you limit your TV, your telephoning, your computers. Let the Holy Spirit sit in your property and fill you up and hear His voice. Now, think about this. Who here is really 100% at their best when you're challenged to be exhausted? Isn't that when mistakes come? If you make a mistake, does it take two or three times more to fix the mistake and then do the thing right the first time? So you're about just taking the rest and doing it right the first time. Doesn't that make sense? And also, I'll reiterate this point. I think it's very important. Bond with your family. Bond with the people that you love and know. As we get into the end times, those people are going to be with you by your side when times get really, really tough. You don't want to be estranged from them. Bond with them. See? I was supposed to think about this. You know, we have two kinds of automobiles today. There's electric and there's gas-powered, right? Now, gas-powered is great. You pump up the gas, fill up the tank, you're good for 400 miles, go 400 miles. Stop, fill it up again, go for 400 more miles. Stop, fill up 400 more miles, right? Okay. Electric car, though, you got to put it in the garage and plug in it overnight. It's got to recharge. Our bodies are like the electric car. Now, you can push a car so far before it breaks down. You push your body so far before it's challenged to break down. We must maintain ourselves. This is about maintaining ourselves for a healthier, happier life heading into the end times. Okay? Now, in addition, I'm suggesting you stay healthy, have nutritious meals, say hi to drink enough water, get circadian sleep, enough exercise, but don't overdo it. Now, I'm going to stress circadian sleep because that's something I've always had a challenge with. I love staying up at night. And the problem is, I don't get that deep, deep rest that I need to. So the medical field tells us that we should be asleep by about 10 o'clock so we get that deep, deep sleep. This is the cycle that God had put man on at the beginning of time. You know, the only thing they didn't have clocks, they had sundown and sun up. When the sundown was there, when the fires went out, they went to bed. When the sun came out, they got up again. It was a natural thing for them to do. I know some of us work nights and things like that, and there's different things we have to do and handle that. I get that, okay? But the bottom line is, if you can set your schedule up to where you're doing the proper thing, getting the full 6 to 8 hours of sleep that your body needs, you'll do better the next day. I was one I used to push it. I can get by on 4 hours of sleep. Yeah, well, I did for a while, and then stopped. Things didn't work out. I made a bunch of mistakes. There's a time. When emergency comes up, you have to do it, fine. But that's the exception. The world today has it as the rule. People stay up all night long gaming and then trying to get up the next day and go to work. There are challenges with that. Okay? Now, circadian sleep, I'm going to stress this a little bit. It's a system God created. It restores cells, rejuvenates itself, restores the immune system, and repairs the DNA. Okay. Now, restoring your immune system, going through a pandemic challenge, is probably a good idea, wouldn't you say? Okay. Okay, C5, worship God in truth and spirit. John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. When you're worshiping God and taking a day off is worshiping God, you're honoring Him. The other thing you need to do is praise stops the avenger. This is the Wycliffe Bible translation. Of the mouth of young children not speaking, sucking milk, thou hast made perfect praising for thine enemies, that thou destroy the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouths of young children who do not speak, who suck milk, thou hast rebuked the mighty enemies. Yea, thou hast destroyed the enemy and the avenger. Now, here's what I mean by that. Take your time during your Sabbath, pray and praise the Lord. Do some of that every day, of course, but really step it up on your Sabbath day. And what you'll find, as you're doing your praises, the avenger stopped from attacking you. When the avenger stops from attacking you, there's not so much stress on your daily workload. When the avenger stops attacking you, you have a better way to handle things. You'll see things done more clearly. You'll get it done faster. You'll have more time for God, for yourself, and for family. I'll give you an example. Person works all the time, all the time, all the time. Now he's getting up going to work the next day, and he gets on the car and he gets out there and he has a flat tire. Okay? Now he's got to wait, either try it himself and get his clothes dirty, or call AAA, it would take an hour by the time to get there, change the tire, and get on his way. If they had done his praise, he would have seen the problem on the road, avoided it, not had the flat tire. The Avenger could act from every way you can. Our only hope is to get into the Word of God, praise Him, and let Him do His thing. If we do our part, God will do His part. Okay? Now, attend a church assembly of the body of Christ. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a matter of somebody exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I know we're an internet church. By being with us, we're here for you. We're doing everything we can do. And we're here with all the God-blessed electronics that we have to help you today through the internet, through teachings. And if you have a problem, give us a call. I mean, 2 weeks ago when I was speaking before, I said, if any of you don't know how to speak in tongues, give us a call. Some people did. Well, Karen and I set up appointments to work with these people to get them speaking in tongues properly. You know, we are here for you. We'll bond over that together. We'll find ways to make communications so we can be close together, because when the end times come, we're going to be together on this. Okay? Number 8, pray and read the Word of God. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So if you're working on the Sabbath, that probably means either A, you're greedy, or B, you're afraid you won't have enough. And reiterate that, greed or fear. You know, most who line up with the Word of God. Okay? Well, lines with the Word of God is doing what He says. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:6, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay, now. Cease from labor for a complete rest and festivity to honor Jehovah. Now I'm going to read that part again. Rest and festivity honors Jehovah. It's not a boring time. Have some fun. It can be fun. Make it fun. It's your day. You know, God wants you to be happy. You don't have to be in drudgery all the time. Okay? Enjoy quality time. Have some fellowship and food with family and friends. You know, like we talked about Karen and Israel. Some of the best meals they have all week long are on Shabbat. And they're all pre-prepared. You don't have to cook them or anything. But they're there. And they're fun. And they talk. And they play games. Maybe they'll take a nap. Do whatever they need to do. But they're together as a unit and a family. Okay? Now, so non-Jews fast on the Sabbath. Jews are not allowed to fast on the Sabbath because of the celebration of God's love and joy to family, praying, eating, being together. You need to ask the Holy Spirit what to do. That's between you and God, what you're supposed to do. Now, we're no longer under the law. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Therefore, ask the Holy Spirit what you should do every day, including take your Sabbath every week. What is your Sabbath? Now, when Karen and I are ministering on Sunday or something, that's not our Sabbath. Our Sabbath will be on Saturday. We'll rotate different days. Or if there's a holiday at work, I may take that as my Sabbath so I can do things. It doesn't have to be exactly on a particular day, as long as you're doing it once a week, once every 7 days. Okay? Some of you work weekends on things. I get that. But on the day that you have off, that's going to be your Sabbath. You need to set that up. Okay? Keep the Sabbath holy by doing what pleases your Heavenly Father. Now, fasting one time a week is a good thing to do. Karen and I do not fast on our Sabbath days because we're also ministering to people. And we're trying to get them ready for the end times. So we do a dinner or something with people, and that's fine. That's what God has told us to do, okay? You do what God teaches you to do. But we do have a fasting day once a week that we do fast. It's just not on Sabbath, so that's up to you. You can fast on Sabbath, or you can fast another day besides Sabbath, however you're led by the Lord, okay? Be blessed with supernatural assets, protection, provision, health, restoration, and fertility. Okay. What shall we eat in the seventh year, since we shall not sow nor gather produce? God responds, then I will command my blessings on you in the sixth year, bring forth enough produce for 3 years. You shall sow in the eighth year, eat the old produce till the ninth year. Until its produce comes in, you shall eat of the old harvest. So when they were going to rest the land for a year, they stopped at the end of the sixth year. They had to get a bountiful harvest. Huge. Massive. Because that harvest had to last through year seven. And then they were going to plant at the start of year eight, but the crops weren't going to grow until the end of year eight. So that one harvest had to be enough to last them for that year, the seventh year, and the eighth year until the next produce came back in. And God did it. And he does it every time. He's never let his people down that honor him. Exodus 16:23-26. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath of the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid up till morning as Moses commanded. It did not stink. There weren't any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath there will be none. Okay. So Sabbath produces two miracles. Supernatural abundance and supernatural storage, where the food did not spoil for years. Nor did insects or rodents attack it. It was protected by the Lord. So when you keep the Sabbath, God protects all your assets too. Provides multiplication, protects our health, brings restoration and fertility to us all. I had no idea how important this day was until I really got into the study. So don't be offended or surprised that we haven't done it. It's not taught out there very much. It's kind of blown over. And we live in a challenge of a workaholic society. And I was that way. I would work and work and work till I simply couldn't do anymore. And that's when I started taking time off. I was wrong. I'm very grateful that God's correcting me now, and I'm standing corrected right now in front of all of you. Okay. So obey the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It's interesting, the first word on that commandment is remember, because it's very easy to forget. 6 days of labor and do all your work. Okay. Exodus 20:10-11. But the seventh day of the Sabbath is the Lord your God. You shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. It rested the seventh day. The Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Now, if you look at the Ten Commandments, commandments 1 through 3 are about God. Okay. No false gods. Okay. Don't make yourself a carved image. Not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now you go 5 through 10, it's about other people. Mother and father, murder, adultery, stealing, etc., etc., etc. Okay. The fourth commandment's about you. It's what you are supposed to do for yourself. It's not what you're not supposed to do to anybody else, or not to God, it's what you're supposed to do for yourself. To remember the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It shall do no, in it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Okay? So we keep the Sabbath holy by obeying and being obedient to God and taking an entire day off. Now, I'm going to lead a couple of prayers here in a minute. Before I do that, I want to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to set up to take a Sabbath day, and something's going to happen where you think you've got to work. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, is this an emergency I'm going to do, or is this work I'm not supposed to do? And you need to be clear about that. Satan is not going to want you getting the rest you need. He's not going to want you getting stronger physically so that you can handle him more in the end times. He's not going to want you bonding with people so that your team can be more effective in the end times. What does the wild kingdom do? They separate from the herd. and they devour them individually. When you're together with your team and your family, you have protection. They will see a problem. They'll tell you about it. You can pray about it together. You can do things together. I cannot stress how important this is. This commandment is at the same level as murder. It's a commandment. But the rewards are astronomical for doing it. We are blessed beyond compare. Going back to my early days, if I had stuck with one business, maybe two, I'd be much better off having done it that way, living a godly life. Okay? So I know what's going on here. I know the challenges. I know the temptations, the desire, and the world that says, you can do more. Oh, sure, you can handle it. But you need a day off? I remember one time when they got really, really upset at me because I was at my point where I wouldn't work anymore on a Sunday. And she yelled and screamed at me that I wouldn't work on a Sunday. I says, no, that's the day for me and my family. And no, I won't work on that. She was never a customer again. You know what? I really didn't care. If she didn't treat me that way, I didn't want her as a customer. And God blessed that business because I started respecting him. Amen? Okay. So, I'm going to read two prayers. Ones who like to repent for not keeping the Sabbath holy. And that's even if you only missed it a few times. Okay. And second, I just want to thank God for all the Sabbaths for blessings to become more apparent in your lives. And whether you have or not been a Sabbath keeper, keeping the Sabbath faithfully. So let's start by repenting first. Okay. I know I'm going just a little bit long here. I'm sorry. But I think it's been a good teaching, and I think it's been something the Lord wanted me to do. So, repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess and repent of these following sins. I repent of ever being challenged not to keep the Sabbath holy in any way, including not taking an entire day off, and not asking the Holy Spirit what I should be doing on the Sabbath. And I receive forgiveness for these sins and any other sins I'm unaware of and sins of my ancestors. In the name of Jesus, I repent of all my sins, of attitudes and intentions, desires, thoughts, memories, words, actions or deeds concerning these sins I just repented of. In the name of Jesus, I forgive myself and or anyone from my heart who have participated in these sins or caused me to sin or been affected by these sins. In the name of Jesus, I bless all of us from my heart, and I love each person and myself with the love of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind these sins. Okay, now I say you don't repeat. I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Now everybody says, in the name of Jesus, I take away the legal right of Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit to operate in or on me, my body or my life, because of these sins. And you can no longer affect me in any way, shape, or form. And I say I agree with you in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, in the name of Jesus, I break every ungodly heart tie, ungodly soul tie, ungodly mind tie, ungodly body tie, ungodly tongue tie, and negative word tie to these sins, to every person, spiritual being, connected to or behind these sins. And I cancel, make null and void all negative words that I could have spoken over myself or others or that other people could have spoken over me and my family. And I say, I greet you in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, in the name of Jesus. I break every curse, every generational curse, every ungodly vow, every ungodly covenant, every ungodly contract, every ungodly hold, every ungodly hook, every ungodly obligation, every ungodly expectation, every ungodly promise, every ungodly goal or dream, every connection to evil, resulting from these sins. And I say, I greet you in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, in the name of Jesus, I have been set free by Jesus Christ.
I have been set free by Jesus Christ.
Women say she, men say he.
She.
Whom the Son sets free.
Whom the Son sets free.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
I. State your name.
Yeah.
Are now free in the name of Jesus.
Are now free in the name of Jesus.
Okay. I also thank you, Heavenly Father.
In the name of
Jesus,
for your grace extended to me,
despite these sins,
I also ask you,
Lord, to give me your wisdom,
how to rework my schedule,
to keep the Sabbath holy,
from now on,
consistently.
Amen.
Now I want to pray a quick prayer for abundance and blessing. So repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father,
in the name of Jesus,
I thank you for blessing me
with supernatural abundance of assets,
protection,
provision,
multiplication,
health restoration,
fertility,
abundance,
storage and savings,
as I keep your Sabbath holy,
according to Leviticus 25,
verses 20 to 22.
Thank you, Lord,
for helping me get rest
without interruption
or sleep deprivation.
Thank you for drawing me close to you, God.
And you will draw me close.
You will draw closer to me.
And every Sabbath I get recharged.
Re-energized
and refreshed to hear his voice.
Better and no longer get tired.
I thank you as a result of keeping your Sabbath holy.
I will be guided by Holy Spirit.
How to accomplish more in less time.
I will receive more income.
With less effort.
I will bond more with my family.
Have a deeper, closer relationship
with them as we pray together
and have quality fellowship time together.
In the name of Jesus,
I also thank you, Lord,
for teaching me more
of how to keep the Sabbath
holy consistently.
Amen.
Thank you all. God bless.
Great topic, straight out of the Word of God, with timely application for us in these last days. We want to do all that God wants us to do. And he's so right. This is one that has been kind of glossed over because there's always a push, 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 do, 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 go, go, go. And a Sabbath is something we need to focus on. Take it seriously. And as he instructed, let's make that time. For God is worthy. And we get to know him better. It's another advantage. and look at all the benefits that we receive when we do. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. That's what the Word says. And God knows. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Let's take this moment now to come to the table together to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. So, get your elements ready. And let's take a moment to confess sins, and then we'll be ready to begin. Okay? We thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, for falling afresh upon each one of us now as we come in acceptance of your invitation to come to the table to partake of the precious body and blood of Jesus Christ. For the Word of God says that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he empowered it to go forth and do what he was commanding it to do. And what is that that we are to remember? What is that that he blessed it for? That he broke it and gave it to us for what? The great exchange. Jesus took the 39 stripes upon his body, paying the price for every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain. Everything that fits into all 39 categories of modern medicine. Jesus, knowing the end from the beginning, paid the price in full and complete. There is nothing missing and nothing lacking from what he has done for us. Whatever our needs are, whatever challenges the devil tries to throw our way, Jesus has already paid for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have truly been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Let's say that all of us together now. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now let's make it very personal. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. God is no respecter of persons. Jesus paid that price in full for every one of us. So no matter what the challenges are, we can name, enlist each one of them and say, Jesus has already paid the price. This doesn't belong to me. I'm not going to pay for it a second time over. Jesus has already paid for it once, and that's enough. Symptoms go. Devil, go. When symptoms come in our bodies, things pop up that are strange, they don't belong there. I like to sometimes say, return to sender. Satan, take it back. It doesn't belong to me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, of God Almighty. And you have no right to attack the body of Jesus Christ. So, the great exchange. Jesus took all the negatives, and he gives us all the positives. Health, healing, wholeness, welfare, wellness in every part of our bodies, restoration, rejuvenation. It all belongs to us because of what he has done. So, our faith action plan is to take this broken body of Jesus that we hold in our hands, we take it into our bodies and receive that great exchange, healing and wholeness for our physical beings, our bodies, from head to toe, every cell, every fiber, every organ, every system, every function. Everything about us has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and let's partake of the broken body to receive our healing and wholeness in full manifestation. Let's partake together now in Jesus' name. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." A slate wiped clean. No sins, no wages of sins. All paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, washed away into the sea of forgetfulness where God chooses to remember no more. He sees us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He sees us through the blood of Jesus as the result of what Jesus has done for us. So we need to line up, accept that, receive it, and walk in what God has called us to be and to do. We thank you, Lord God, for your great love. And we choose to see ourselves as you see us. That we are in agreement with you. When we speak affirmations, when we speak the word of God, we're setting ourselves in agreement with the word of God. And the word of God says, where two or three agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done for them. So we see ourselves as the righteousness of God. We see ourselves clean and fresh and whole and loved by our Heavenly Father. So wonderful, so precious. So we thank you, Jesus. We do remember. We choose to remember who we are in you. And we line up our thinking, our words, and our actions with what your word says about us. And right now, that includes possibly new information or at least a strong reminder to take our Sabbaths and spend our time with you, with our family, and be blessed and grow and be strengthened. So many benefits. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much, and we're so grateful for everything that you have done for us. We praise you, we worship you, we honor you. We do remember, Lord. And we partake together now of the precious blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let's receive together.